Blessed morning to you in the name of the Lord. This morning I want to share with you on a very simple topic called words. We use words every day because we need to communicate with our friends, our colleagues, our relatives and so on. And sometimes even we talk to ourselves. But do we stop to think about the words we use? The words we say to people? Because our words are powerful. They make an impact on the life of people. Our words are not empty nor light. Sometimes people remember the words we tell them. Always use upon them, especially harsh words. Sometimes people don't remember the good things you do, but they remember the bad deeds. The hard words that you speak against people will always make them not to like you. It will enrage them. Because our words can either encourage people or they can enrich people. Our words can either build them up in the faith or pull down their faith. It can hurt them or it can heal them. So we have to be very careful. But many times we are very careless with our words. We just open our mouth and the words just come out. We don't stop and think whether our words will actually encourage them to become Christians or to drive them away from Christ. Sometimes people say, if he's a Christian and he behaves like that, I don't want to be a Christian. If he knows we are from this church, and we talk to people in a very harsh way. And if we invite them to church, maybe that person will turn around and say, if you are like that, I think most probably your church people are also like that. Sometimes people tend to judge a person by the company he keeps. He thinks that if you are bad, every one of your friends are bad. Okay. But if he thinks you are good, he thinks you have good friends. If you are kind to people and speak nice words to people, you invite them to church, they will think that your church must be a very nice place. Where the people use words that are very kind, very patient, very encouraging. So stop to think before you speak. You know, David, he always tell God, set a seal upon my lip. Keep the doors of my lips. Okay. When we leave our house to go to work or to go to school or college or anything like that, do we pray to God that God will give us good words to speak? Sometimes people tell us, if you have nothing to say, keep quiet. Don't open your mouth. Wars start because people talk too much. You know. Quarrels begin because people use harsh words. If you are angry with someone, you use harsh words on that person, the person will reply to you in an angry tone. Okay. So as a child of God, we should be very, very careful. Okay. Because words have meaning. They are very specific. We see the words of God, they are so powerful that the word of God creates everything, the heaven and the earth, the sea, all the creatures. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, by faith we know that the world is framed by the word of God. Genesis 1 tells us that the world was created by God's word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God says, let there be sea. The sea came about. Let there be fishes in the sea, birds in the air, grass on the land, animals on the land. And they all came about. Okay. So it's the same with us. Okay. Although our words cannot create anything, our words can actually create hatred or love, okay, healing or hurt, and so on. We come to the text today in Matthew 12 about Jesus. Okay. How Jesus see we use words. Okay. He was talking to a group of Pharisees. The Pharisees never did like Jesus. Okay. They thought he was a lowly carpenter's son. It's not this Joseph's son. It's not this the carpenter's son. Okay. They despise him. And they tried to make him say many things so that they can catch him if he said something wrong. But our Lord never said anything wrong. All his words were very gracious. But when he spoke to the Pharisees, his words were very harsh. Okay. He called them vipers, snakes, poisonous snakes. I'm sure you would not like to be called snakes, right? You're a sneaky person. That means people are very suspicious of you. They don't trust you. Okay. So you need to use words that people will find comfortable with. And people can trust you. Okay. They know that you have good words. They know that you choose your words carefully before you speak. Right, before we go further and look into God's word, let's look to God and ask him to bless us. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for the scripture that thou hast put in our hands, the word of God. We thank you that your word says that every word of God is pure, it is right. We thank you that there are no mistakes, no errors in thy word. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. We thank you, Lord, that your word can bring life to our soul. We pray as we look into the word that Jesus used on the Pharisees, speak to our hearts that we may understand what it means, that we may use our words carefully, that we may not antagonize people with our words. Lord, may thy word that go forth out of thy servant's mouth not return unto thee void, but will accomplish all that thou hast purposed. Hear us, Lord. We give thee thanks and ask all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's look at verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Okay. Jesus said that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every idle word that they have spoken. This includes us, you know. It doesn't mean that only people who don't know the Lord Jesus, if they speak idle words, then they will be judged. No. God will also judge Christians because we all have to appear at the bema seat of Christ to give an account to him of what we have done for him with our life on earth. Okay. The words we have spoken will be taken into account. Okay. In the context, Jesus was actually contrasting the good things within a good person with the evil things in the heart of an evil person. In verse 35, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Jesus explained the abundance of the heart by a treasure. You know, when you accumulate treasure, it takes time, right? You don't accumulate treasure just overnight. Okay? So it is the same. You want to accumulate good works in your life, it takes time. Okay? You must learn and know what are the good words that you ought to keep in your heart, in your mind. Okay? And it all this takes time. Okay? And you got to go and find. Okay? Treasure you need to find. Okay? They're not simply lying on the ground where you can just see it and grab it. No. Okay? So here are things that we should spend time on. Cultivating good habits. Okay? Thinking about them, meditating about them. Okay? And as we grow older, we accumulate more of these things. Okay? And our mind would be filled with good words and good deeds. And when we open our mouth, good words will definitely flow out from our mouth. Okay? That's what the Lord says. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things. Okay? He already gave the example. Okay? The tree is known by its fruits. Okay? In the book of Matthew, he was saying, right, nobody go and gather grapes, you know, from the brambles. Brambles don't produce grapes. Grapes are produced on the vine. Okay. You can't get olive, okay, unless it is from an olive tree. Okay. You want to eat apples, you have to plant apple seeds. You don't plant orange seeds and expect to get apples. Okay. That's impossible. Okay. Because the Bible already says in Genesis 1, the tree bringeth forth fruit after its kind. Okay. You can't expect to bring pear fruit out of a lemon tree. See. It's impossible. It doesn't work. Okay. Today, men actually crossbreeds. Okay. You get a lot of cross type of fruits today. Okay. I don't know how they do it. But God didn't do that. You want to eat jackfruit, you plant jackfruit tree seeds. You want to eat apple, you plant apple seeds. Okay. You don't take an apple branch up, and then you graft it into an orange tree and you hope to get something across between an apple and an orange. I don't know what you're going to call that. Okay. There are some fruits like that. Okay. And man thought maybe he's smarter than God to create this kind of fruits. They call it exotic fruit. Exotic. Rare. You know? So a treasure is actually very rare, right? Okay. And you want to keep a treasure of good words and deeds, you have to spend your time and energy on it. So, a good person will have a good collection of good thoughts. That's why Paul tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, whatever things are good, whatever things are honest, okay, whatever things are pure, of good report, think about this thing, think on them. Spend time, meditate on them. What is good? The Bible is full of good things. Read the Bible, meditate on the things in the Bible that God says that will please him. Okay. And when you have accumulated all this in your heart, you'll be drawn nearer to God and you will definitely be used by God for his glory and for his honor. And when you open your mouth, people just simply love to hear you talk. There are some people, when they open their mouth, nobody wants to hear them. Because the string of curses just flow out from their mouth, especially if they are non-Christians. I believe, I do not know whether you meet such people. Okay? There are lots of people in Singapore who goes drinking, you know. Okay? And when they get drunk, they speak a lot of things that they will never speak when they are sober. And you can hear all kinds of curses that come out. They curse everybody. They blame everybody for their misfortune, except themselves, because they don't want to take the trouble to improve themselves. They blame circumstances, they blame fate, they blame God. They blame everybody, but not themselves. Okay. When we get into trouble, we get into trouble because of ourselves, not because the trouble is there waiting for us, you know. You get into an accident because you were careless. You didn't look where you were going. It's not that the accident is waiting to happen. Yes, it is if you are careless. Okay. So you need to be careful. It's the same as speaking. You need to be careful when you use words. Will my words hurt this person that I talk to? You know? Sometimes we simply just don't know what to say, right? Especially if you go to a funeral. How to comfort the bereaved? It's very hard to find words, you know. And most of the time we just go and say, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry to hear the passing away of your dad, your mom, and so on. That's all we can say to him. But will our words give him comfort? I don't know. It depends on how we say it. Don't go to him and say, oh, don't worry, everybody has to die. He is so down in his... You know, his heart is so down in the dumps, and you go and tell him such thing, everybody has to die. He just doesn't want to hear that. He knows everybody has to die. He knows it. It's a fact of life. But don't tell him that. That's not the proper time. If he's alive, you tell him, you're going to die one day, you know. What are you going to do after that? If you don't believe in Jesus, where will you spend eternity? That's okay. But not at a funeral. So we have to be careful. So if you have a good collection of words, you will know exactly what to say. I read a story about a man. He went to his friend's funeral. The friend just lost a son who was drowned. He just sat by his side and put his arm around his shoulder. That's all he did. And after that, the man said, thank you so much for the comfort you have given to me. The man was so surprised. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't say anything. He just went to show his concern for this person. And he put his hand over his shoulder. He just sat there with him. And the man said, thank you. Your presence means a lot to me. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't say a word. Sometimes people say, "What? Silence is golden." So when to keep quiet and when to talk? Is it Ecclesiastes chapter 3, right? A time to speak and a time to keep silence. So know where you are and whether you can speak or whether you should keep quiet. That's why when you have good thoughts, when all these are accumulated inside you, you will know exactly how to behave. The Bible stressed that what we say actually is an accurate indication of our heart. That's what Jesus says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everything that comes out of our mouth comes out from the heart. If your heart is good, you will have good words. If your heart is evil, the words that come out are all evil, like the Pharisees. They always speak evil about Jesus. They just accuse Jesus of being demon-possessed, right? He cast out devils by the prince of devils. He could do that because he himself is a disciple of the devil. So Jesus turned around and said, if I cast out devil by the prince of devil, then who does the son cast out devils? He said, if I by the finger of God do cast out demons, that means the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay. but they didn't believe what he said. They accused him of blasphemy. That's a great crime, you know, to the Jews. He's sinning against God. And the punishment is death. And they accused Jesus of that, blasphemy. A man that claimed himself to be God. Jesus is God. He came in the human flesh to save man from sin. A God can't die, right? If a God dies, how can he be a God? Only man dies. Because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Every man has an appointment with death, but not God. So they didn't believe him, and they tried to get him into trouble with his words. And so Jesus said, you are vipers, full of poison in your mouth. The words that come out are poisonous words. Yes, you may sound righteous, you may sound holy, you may stand at street corners and pray long prayers, you disfigure your face to show that you are righteous, you know the law, but you don't practice it. So what you know is of no use to you if you don't practice it. If you know it is good to speak good words, if you don't practice it, it's no use to you. Because it doesn't come out from you. It stays bottled up inside. What does it benefit the others, the person who hears you? Proverbs 4:23 tells us, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard it with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Solomon himself said what? The power of death and life is in the tongue, you know. And James tells us the little tongue is very hard to control. No man can control the tongue except God. That's why we need to yield our members to the control of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control our life. And then He will control our tongue. If you tell God, I want to live my life of my own, you're going to get into trouble, because your tongue will get you into trouble. People who are dumb, they don't get into trouble much, right? Because they can't speak. Only people who can speak. Most of us get into trouble because of our words. Because we anger people. Because we hurt people. Is our mouth full of poison like the vipers? Are we like the Pharisee? Oh, we look very holy on Sunday when we come to church. What about from Monday to Saturday? What about Monday to Friday when you go to work? Your colleagues, when they see you, when they hear you, when they talk to you, when they are with you, can they hear good words from you? From me? From everyone who's a child of God? Or do they say, well, you Christians are also like the people of the world. You also scold us. You also use hard words on us. What's the difference? We may be Christian in name, you know. But are we Christian in spirit? Are we Christians in action, in words? Don't call yourself a child of God if you cannot behave like a child of God. Because Jesus says Christianity is actually not a religion. Remember John 10:10, Jesus says what? I come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life, meaningful life. And we have to live that kind of life, meaningful. Jesus did not say, I come so that you can have religion. No. He didn't come to start religion, you know. He came to give life to people who are dead in their sin, so that they can be made alive again. In Him, through Him, by Him. No one else can do that. So if we are really alive and in God, then we should use words very carefully. Because people, when they hear our words, they will know whether we are a child of God or not. Okay? Jesus himself said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This is one thing that betrays us. Speech. You can't hide it. If you keep very quiet, you don't say anything, nobody can know who you are. The moment you open your mouth, they will know who you are. So let's be very careful, okay? Because we have to heed what Jesus tells us. Okay? This is not man's word. This is the word of the Lord. Our Lord, our Savior, He tells us what to do. We ought to do it. We ought to follow Him. Okay? So don't just carelessly open your mouth. So there is no better judge of a person's heart than the words that come forth from his mouth. Okay. And Jesus said, every idle word. What are idle words? Idle words are empty rhetoric, meaningless. You can give a nice, fine speech. If it doesn't help the person in any way, it is useless to him. It is insincere or exaggerated talk. This is flattery. There are some people who talk nice things in front of you, behind you they stab you. This is idle words. Don't tell a person, oh, you're very good, you're very kind, but behind him you gossip about him to other people. He's an evil person. Don't ever listen to him, you know. Or you can't trust him by what he says and all that thing. That's idle talks. Or careless words. Especially sometimes parents. Our words sometimes when we use upon our children, they are actually careless words. Why are you so stupid? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? You are an idiot, you know, and so on. All these are idle words, you know. They're very hurtful to a child. You keep on telling the child, you are an idiot, you are an idiot. He'll grow up thinking that he's an idiot. You are a fool, you are a fool. You're thinking, growing up, he's a fool. Then you'll find, what is life? What's the meaning of life? My parents keep on telling me I'm a fool. I go to school, my teacher call me a fool. Sometimes my friend also call me a fool. You know, there was a story about this boy. He was actually a very smart boy. So his classmate wanted to play a prank on him. They wrote the word fool on a piece of paper and they stick on his back. Of course he didn't know. And when he walked around, everybody looked at him and everybody thought that he was a fool. The teacher put a problem on the board and he asked, any one of you can solve the problem? All the students looked at the board blankly. They couldn't. This little boy went up. And he wrote the answer on the board. He worked out the steps. He worked out the problem step by step. And the teacher saw on his back the word fool. And the teacher told the class, well, he says, all you wise guys are sitting there, do not know the answer, but this fool did. This fool is smarter than all of you who are supposed to be wise. Don't make him a fool, he's wiser than all of you. You see, a person can see. Everybody thinks he's a fool because when he walks around the school compound, they don't know him. They don't know he could solve problems. But when he was in class, he did that. And the teacher recognized his talent. He was no fool. Okay? Doesn't mean that you call a person a fool, he'll be a fool. No, you have to prove it that you're no fool. You're smart. You're a child of God, you're smart. You have the wisdom of God, you know, the mind of Jesus Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We are smart people. So we ought to know how to behave and how to use words. Use words, kind words, good words, encouraging words, helpful words. That's how we draw people to the Lord. We can't be great soul winners, but our life can show people that we are a child of God. We may not do great things, we may not achieve great things for God, but God can use us in little ways to help people to see that God is love. Because we are loving people. We are kind people. So be careful with your words. Don't use idle words. So how should a Christian use words then? Ephesians 4:29 tells us this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Use words that edify people. Use words that build people up. Gracious words. Good words. Colossians 4:6. Our words must be seasoned with salt. Preserving words. Words that will give hope. That will give life. We use God's word. We can give faith to people. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the Bible is correct. It always stresses what we say. It's an accurate indication of what is in our heart. If our words bless and encourage others, they give evidence of a compassionate heart. If you often share the good news of Christ, you demonstrate a heart that is grateful for your own salvation. You talk about it because you love it. People who love to go fishing, they always talk about fishing, you know. Always talk about the fish they caught, the fish that got away and so on. Because it's their interest. So if you keep on telling people about God's love for them, God wants to save them and all that, it shows that you are thankful that you are saved. Because you want to share the good news with people. When others are in trouble, when they have difficulties in their life, when they are in a crisis, when they come to you, do they know they will find comfort in your words? I have got a problem. Can you help me? What are you going to tell them? I'm so busy. I have no time. I also have problems of my own. Or do we say, okay, tell me your problem. If I can help, I'll do my best to help you. Can they hear that? Or do they just push away by us? Our crude reply to them. Go and solve your own problem. Your problem is not my problem. You know? We don't live alone, you know. We are connected to people. Okay? God brings people into our life to help us grow. He brings difficult people in our life so that He can teach us patience. So that we can learn how to solve problems. If life was so easy, what's the point of living, you know? Yeah. Life is hard. Life is tough. Life has challenges. And God has given us the grace to meet all these kind of challenges. Yeah? By using good words, kind words. Yeah? Do we frequently and spontaneously offer up prayers for others? Do we pray for people? Most of our prayers are very selfish prayers. We centered upon ourselves, our loved ones, our friends. We don't care about people in the world. You know? I don't know them. You know? Sometimes, when it comes to funeral, oh, I don't know this person. I don't want to go. Nobody knows me. Doesn't mean that nobody knows you. You know, you go there, your presence means a great help, you know, great comfort to the bereaved members. Oh, here's a person who come and visit, you know. He's concerned. He's my son's friend, my husband's friend, or you know, colleague or so on. Okay. Or you just say, just because I don't know him, I don't want to go. You don't know what your presence means to the people there. Maybe you don't have anything to say. Never mind. Go and sit down. People can see you and know that you have a heart for this person. Okay? By your action. Do your words and the manner you say them reveal a patient heart? You may have the right words, you know, but you can say in a wrong tone. Okay? You may be right. But sometimes you get impatient, right? And you raise your voice. That spoils everything. Okay? I read a story about this man. He came home from work very tired. His wife was preparing dinner. And they gathered at the table. They give thanks to God and they ate their food. Okay? But the wife burnt the toast, the man's toast, and put it on his table. Burnt toast. Have you heard the story? Okay. So the husband looked at the toast. He said, "Thank you, dear, for making this toast. I love burnt toast." And spread jam, peanut butter, and he ate. And the son looked at him. He was enjoying. And after that, at night, when they were going to sleep, the son came to the dad to say good night, and he asked the dad, "Dad, I need to ask you something." The dad said, "What is it, son?" He said, "Why you never scold mommy when she burned your toast? Why you say you love burnt toast? I know you don't like burnt toast." The dad told the son, he said, "Son, burnt toast never hurt anyone, but harsh words were. Your mom has been taking care of all of you, taking care of the home, cooking for us. We should be thankful and grateful to her, even though the toast was burnt. Don't go and blame her, you know. She had a hard day." The son said, "I learned that lesson, I never forget it." He never used hard words on his wife when he got married. He ate everything the wife cooked, good or bad. Sometimes we always grumble, you know. Especially we men, when we work outside. When we go home, we expect nice warm dinner ready for us, right? We expect our wife to be like a servant, you know. Falling down on her knees to worship us, like to treat us like lords, you know. Like the Chinese say, Lao Ye, good lord. You know, there's a Hokkien word that almost sound like Lao Ye. It's Lao Ya, you know. Lao Ya means lousy. You say it in a wrong tone, it become not Lao Ye, it become Lao Ya. Useless, worthless. Okay. Your expectation and your observation actually will indicate what kind of words you're going to use. If your observation doesn't meet your expectation, then you're going to get very upset and very angry and you're going to use harsh words. If you go home, for example, after a hard day's work, you expect your dinner to be ready, right? Hot, piping hot, everything nice, all laid out on the table, you know. All you have to do is just sit down and just gobble up the food. That's what you expect, right? Because you have been so busy working outside, bring home the bacon. But you come back, no dinner. The house in a mess. So your expectation didn't match your observation, you see. Then you get very frustrated. Then you scold the wife, you blame the wife and say, "What have we been doing the whole day in the house? You are not working, you know. Not working. Housewife not working. Don't say too quick, husband. Your wife is working harder than you, actually. She takes care of the kids. She finds their books. She sends them for tuition. She fetches them back. She does a lot of things that you never know. And you think she's not working just because she's a housewife. And you expect her to be a slave for you. And you lose your temper. And the words that come out when you lose your temper, when you're angry, are never good words, right? You cannot speak kindly and calmly to your wife. You will not say, okay dear, I know you have a busy day. I'm very sorry. Don't worry, I'll cook dinner myself. Don't worry, I'll clear up the mess. You know? If your expectation is not so high, you won't get disappointed. And you won't use harsh words. Okay. So lower your expectation, man. Husband. Okay. Treat our wife. Precious. God gave her to us. A helpmate, you know, a helpmate, not a slave, huh? A helpmate to take care of our help. If she can't make it, understand her. She has a busy day. Okay? It's not like she just sit at home and does nothing. She keeps your house clean, spick and span. You know? She boils water for you. Maybe she gets your slipper ready for you and so on. Okay? Be grateful. Be thankful. Okay? Use good words and kind words. Okay? So you have to use the right tone as well. Okay? Maybe you go home, you see the dinner there. Don't tell her, why so cold? Why you never heat it up, you know? You know I don't like cold food and so on. She got everything ready for you just to get scolded by you. Maybe she'll get angry and say, okay, next time I don't cook anything for you. You want hot food, you cook yourself. And then there will be a quarrel. And then the peace of the home will be shattered. And the children will wonder why there is no love in the house. Why? Because of harsh words. A home should be built on love and warmth, friendliness, cooperation, understanding, patience, and so on. With God as the head of the house, we can do it. So a very good way is, remember, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you go up every morning and you pray this to God, I believe your words will be good words, will be kind words, because you commit your tongue to God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord. If God accepts our words, man will also accept our words. Because we tell God we want to speak good words. And he will try to help us. But we have to help ourselves. Okay? We just don't take things for granted. Oh, God will help me. And just open our mouth carelessly. No, we have to think before we speak. Okay. So I pray and hope that this will encourage you to use good words. In your home, in your office, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your colleagues, point them to the Lord. Let them know you are a child of God because of the right words you use. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us speech, the ability to communicate with one another. Lord, you know many times we fall short of your standard. We use words that are hurting, discouraging, not helpful at all. We pray you forgive us, Lord, of our sin of careless words, of idle words. Help us to remember to speak like the Lord. Gracious words, kind words, patient words, loving words that encourage others to be drawn to thee. We pray that our words will draw people to you, that they may come to know that thou art only the true and living God and the Lord Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, for this is life eternal. Bless thy people, O Lord. Use them for thy honor and thy glory. We thank you and ask all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you.